That's it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I need to make an announcement quick, like. Everybody knows that Sarah Bonner, she graduated. So come and help her graduate on July 18th, Saturday, July 18th, from 2 to 4 in the fellowship hall. Sierra Bonner graduated, we know that, but we're going to celebrate it. So July 18th at the fellowship hall from 2 to 4. Amen. I heard about a couple that were discussing their 40th anniversary. And as they're discussing their 40th anniversary, the wife says, I think I'll wear silver shoes. You know, that's the color of the 40th anniversary. But she says, I don't think I'll wear silver shoes. The husband, trying to be funny, says, what, to match your hair? And she said, yes, dear, so I suppose you're going to go barefoot. God is good all the time. Now, before we read our text, I just want to tell you something. If you haven't been listening to the news, this week has probably been one of the wildest, craziest weeks in the news. The Supreme Court itself has decided to take what the people want away and democracy away, and they decide on their own to legislate and to change laws, because we've already voted things out and they're still coming up anyway. So I'm just going to tell you, be prepared for what's going on after they legalize gay marriage. And I do not have a problem with gay people. I have a lot of gay people that are friends. I will minister to them. I love them. It's not a problem. When the Supreme Court justice says, we're legalizing gay marriage, and it says, if anybody says anything about it, they better say it in the confines of their own home. Because if we hear it, you're a bigot. And you will suffer. Now, that's throwing something down my throat. I've already checked into it. Our church is fine right now because our bylaws have us covered. But coming soon, get ready, if you work in public, if you have a public business, they say it doesn't really matter. You can go with your conscience. But ask the two companies that were put out of business just recently, because they said, we don't believe in it, we're not going to cater to it. And so they were struck with $140,000 fines and struck with so much stuff they went out of business. So don't believe everything you're hearing about. Everything's hunky-dory, we're going to grab hands and we're going to sing Kumbaya. That's not what it is. Our government is slowly taking over and telling us, they're telling us what we're going to do. So just know that. And you're going to be hearing things about them. I'll tell you things we can do to protect our own self. It's not just with the gay marriage. Obamacare is the law of the land, but the majority of people don't even want Obamacare. And a lot of people that they've been hurt by it, they're the ones paying for people that's not even costing them a dime. So we're not only getting hurt by it, but we're having to pay for others. And so, again, things are just getting crazy. And then they lit up the White House was lit up in multicolors like a rainbow after the Supreme Court made its vote, and then turned around and Obama tweeted, love wins, hashtag love wins. So I know he's not worrying about me much in Mighty Army, but the next day on the Mighty Army, I put love wins at the cross. Love won at the cross. Amen. That's right. ISIS has made three major attacks in three different countries, and they said they're going to do more calculated attacks all around, and I don't hear our government saying anything about that. But they're more concerned with taking down the rebel flag because this is destroying our nation. Okay, let me tell you something. The Confederate flag is first. The United States flag is second. If we don't stand up and be the church, we're going to have people outside that door telling us when we can come in, when we can go out. I've never felt in my heart the stirring that I've felt since I felt this week. And I don't know about you, I've seen a lot of people, that it's just like a gloom is coming over our land. And the church has got to stand up and be counted. Amen. It's fun to come in here and fellowship with my brothers and sisters, but I'm here to tell you, again, when our president's taking vows for gay marriage but not doing anything about ISIS, and ISIS, they've already said, is on our shores. They're at the border. They've already got sales in the United States, and all they got to do is say the word, and there'll be calculated attacks all over the United States. Amen? So we've got to keep, we the church have got to be the church. The Lord spoke to me again this morning, and He said, "You're a bright and shining light, church. You're the answer, church. Don't lay down, church. Don't play dead, church. Stand up and be counted, church, because you've got the answer. Congress doesn't have the answer. The Supreme Court definitely doesn't have the answer. They can take away and redefine marriage. They can redefine whatever they want to, but there's one thing they can't do. They can't put Jesus back in that tomb. Praise the Lamb of God. Yeah, that's right. They can't put Him back in that tomb. They can't stop us from talking about it. On my dying breath, I will be telling Jesus is the answer to whatever we need. Amen? I even had to go to training this week, and when I went to training for how to handle rape and stuff in the prison, the majority I was taught about was gay, lesbian, transsexual, intersex, how to protect them because they're the targets in the prison. And I said, what is going on in this world? So watch this. Pentecost, Acts chapter 3. I'm going to show you the answer. It's very clear. It's just as apparent can be. Acts chapter 3. Stand for the reading of the word. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. You remember this. We're not to talk about, we're not to beat up on and bash anybody because of their religion, because of their sexual orientation, because of anything like that. We are to love them like Jesus would. Amen? Love them. Amen? But at the same time, don't shove down my throat things that I don't believe and I don't want to participate in. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask alms. And Peter, fasting his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he went home and crawled into bed and said, that was a good service. He said, well, God was going to do it anyway, I'll leave. And he, leaping up, stood and walked. This man had not walked in over 40 years. And instead of having to be taught, he just did it. Leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened unto him. And the lame man was healed. Held Peter and John, all the people ran together into the portion that's called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered to the people, you men of Israel, why marvel at this? Why are you looking so earnestly on us as though we by our own power or holiness made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you, God, that although it seems like the world is just spinning so fast out of control, ISIS, it seems to be just taking over, and our young people even being sympathetic to ISIS and going over to them, and too many times the government's just treating symptoms instead of treating the problem. I ask you right now, Father, to touch and to anoint this day. And Lord, help us walk away with a fresh understanding and a fresh anointing. Father, we love you. We praise your name. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, if you're going to understand this story, you got to start at Acts chapter 2. We're not going to read all of Acts chapter 2, but we talked about that a couple weeks ago. It's the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was definitely not an average, everyday Sunday morning service. It wasn't come in and go out and just get rid of everything. We're just have a good old time and going to Hardee's and have a good time there. This is something special happened. The Bible says that they were all together in one accord, 120, and the Holy Spirit came in the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and he filled all the house they were sitting, and cloven tongues set upon them as fire, and they all began to speak in other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance, and they went out and started speaking the good works of the Lord. And people were amazed, and 3,000 souls were saved that day. It was a very powerful thing. I'm going to put it very simple again. Here it is. Jesus went up. The Holy Spirit came down. The church went out. Amen? Jesus went up. The Holy Spirit came down. The church went out. Wow. What an awesome, awesome thought. What God can do for somebody to just be obedient and will just give their self unto God. So watch this. The Holy Ghost is not given so this week you come in here and have a holy huddle and feel good. Too many people think we just got to have some kind of, we can have an outstanding dynamic service, and after we leave, that's it. The Holy Ghost was never given for our, listen, the Holy Ghost was never given for our enjoyment, for our entertainment. The Holy Ghost was given to us for empowerment, to stand up and fight the good fight, to be able to go out and tell the world about Jesus and to bring the world in. See, the Holy Ghost is given to one to evangelize, number two, to fight, and number three, to carry on, for us to press on. There's a lot of us in here right now. There's a lot of hurt inside of you. There's things that's happened to you that nobody can even have no idea what's happened to you. There's people here right now fighting battles that nobody even realizes what's going on. But you know what's keeping you together? God is keeping you together. And you know what's helping you and keeping you from just throwing up your hands and throwing in the towels? The Holy Spirit is upon you. And what God wants, and especially in this last day, especially after all the stuff we're watching, 5 judges overrun and overturned the will of the people. And they overturned the Word of God. And then had the nerve to tell, if I say anything about it, I'm a bigot. And I'm subject to be punished. Let me tell you something. We better get full of the Holy Spirit. We better get full of God. Not just so we can go in here and have a good service and pat each other on the back and then go out to Hardee's and talk about it. I'm talking about get together, let God fill us with the Holy Spirit. Go out and let the world know what's going on, that Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back soon. Amen? Coming back soon. Somebody say he's coming back soon. He's coming back soon. Praise the Lamb of God. But here's the time, and they were on their way to pray. They were on their way to pray. Just think about this now. They didn't have so much of God that they didn't need to go to his house. All right? So watch. Let's talk about the beggar. Just a few things about the beggar. First, he was lame. A certain man from his mother, lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate called Beautiful to ask alms. Secondly, he was loved. So how do you know he was loved? Because he was hopeless. And because he was hopeless and he couldn't move, somebody had to take him daily. So I'm pretty sure somebody loved him enough to carry him to lay at that gate. Number two, he was looking. He was looking for somebody to give him money, because he couldn't work for himself. He needed somebody to help him. And number four, he was lacking. And when Peter looked on him, he fastened his eyes, he said, look on us. And he gave heed unto him, because he knew that he was getting ready to get something. He just didn't know what he was getting ready to get. Now the beautiful gate, let's talk about the beautiful gate for just a minute. I want to kind of paint a picture here. Of the temple gates, Josephus writes that 9 were completely overlaid with gold and silver, and also their doorposts. Can you imagine the gates of the temple overlaid with gold and silver? Then, outside the sanctuary, this gate called Beautiful was overlaid with Corinthian bronze. It doubled in value. Matter of fact, it was bigger. It was bigger than all the other gates. The other gates were 40 cubits. This gate was 50 cubits. This gate was so big, and this gate was so heavy with that Corinthian bronze that it took 20 men to open and shut it. And it was massive, and it just shone in the light, and so they called it Beautiful. Now the sun would rise over the eastern mountains, and the entrance to the temple would be dazzling, bright, and you could see it was worth a fortune. But lying at this gate was a marred, disfigured, distorted outcast. There was 15 steps that could take you into the gate Beautiful and put you over in the court of the Gentiles. He was 15 steps from communion with God. He was 15 steps from his miracle. He was 15 steps from being able to worship. But because of the way he was not even able to be brought in there. As close as he could get to God was 15 steps. There's some of you in here today, you're 15 steps from a miracle. You're 15 steps from what you need from God. And somebody needs to help you understand that you can get up and you can get in that gate and you can get what you need from God. So now let's watch this now. So called it beautiful. Now, I like that word beautiful because I began studying, I like to study the Greek, and I'm studying beautiful. And not only does it mean magnificent, it means belonging to the right hour, belonging to the right season, timing. Somebody say timing's everything. Timing's everything. We'll get back to that in a minute. The Jewish day began at 6 in the morning. It ended at 6 in the evening. And for the devout Jew, they prayed at 9 a.m., they prayed at 12 or noon, and they prayed at 3 p.m. Prayer was very important to them because nobody could go beyond the court of the Gentiles, only the priest. And only the high priest could go back into the Holy of Holies. So this is as close as they could get to God. And so they wanted to commune with God. And the way they communed was three times a day. They went and prayed. You go look at the Wailing Wall, and you'll see Jews praying all the time there, but especially at 9, at 12, and at 3. Because people want to get in touch with God. The sad part was they didn't know how. So now watch this. Pentecost. This is the first miracle after that Pentecost. This is the first time these guys have really gone out and explored after that Pentecost. They're on their way to prayer. And as they're on their way to prayer, we get to see something that Pentecost really does. Remember, Pentecost is not for our entertainment. Pentecost is not for our enjoyment. Pentecost is for our empowerment, and it's for our encouragement, and it's for us to help encourage others. So, are we dying up there? Okay. What? It had a hiccup? It's growing. Okay, everybody do this. Said it passed out. Everybody's helping you. Okay, first, Pentecost produces expectancy. I want to read this since we don't have it up there. Amen. Verse 3, it says, "And who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fasting eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." Let me tell you something. Expectancy is what this world needs. Because I can tell you right now, I see a lot of people that are just so full of doom and gloom. I see a lot of people that don't know God, and they're just tore all to pieces. I see people that know God, and they're tore all to pieces. I see people that know God, and they don't even know how to handle these rulings that's coming down. They don't even know how to differentiate between what God said and what the legislative branch has said. And so here's this man, he has not walked in 40 years. But when you begin to expect, then you get hope. How many need some hope? How many need some hope? How many know some people that need some hope? Did you come back up? All right, good. Amen. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're on the way to pray. Let me tell you what's so special about going at 3 o'clock to pray and healing this man. Does anybody know when Jesus died? He died at 3 o'clock. John 19:30 says, when he cried, "It is finished," it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So the same time Jesus died, the same time Jesus paid the price for our sins and paid for our healing, is the same time they're going to pray. And as they're going to pray, Peter stops and says, "Look on us." And the man's expecting to receive something. Now here's a hopeless man that is full of hope. Let me ask you a question. How many? I've seen this little thing on the back of a car, this little bumper sticker says, "If you are accused of being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you?" One more time. If you were to be accused of being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you? I know I'm sounding a little rough this morning, but I'm still trying to get my head around all the things that are happening around the world right now. I mean, in 1 week, you don't understand. If I hope you understand, but in one week, enough has happened to collapse the world. You know what they're doing in Greece right now? In Greece, the people are lining up to the ATM machines, pulling their money out. And it says they can't even keep the ATM machines full of money because their economic system is about to collapse. And guess who is following their model? One week, there's been enough to collapse our entire way of living. One week. We got to see this. We got to understand this. And it's got to get under our skin. Because if it doesn't get under our skin, we'll do nothing about it. We'll just sit back and go, well, that's all right. It's not me. And you'll say that all the way to the slaughterhouse. So now watch. He looks in. He sees him and he says, look on us. We need to be telling the world, look on us. We've got it. We've got the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. We've got what it takes. Jesus. First, it produced expectancy. Secondly, it produced healing. Because he says in verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now I want you to watch this. This is something special right here. This is some powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. God is awesome. Amen. God is so, so, so awesome. So now watch this. Silver and gold have I none. It was good that they were broke. Has anybody ever thought it was good to be broke? Y'all look at me like a mule looking at a new gate. Have you ever thought it was good to be broke? This day, it was good for the beggar that they were broke. He's looking for money, and they got none. Got none. Ain't got none. That sounds good, doesn't it? Ain't got none. I'm going for my doctor's degree. Ain't got none. Actually, silver and gold would have only fed the symptom. Tearing down the rebel flag is only attacking the symptom. Right now, yes, the police are even afraid to do their jobs. They've backed off, and wherever they've backed off, crime rate has tripled. Their murder rate is going up because the police are pulling back because everybody's talking about, and they're saying black lives matter. White lives, black lives, red lives, orange, they all matter. And if you want to know the truth, we're treating a symptom because black-on-black crime is 1,000% more. 1,000% more. Did y'all hear that? 1,000% more. But we're worried about tearing down the rebel flag. I know y'all say I'm getting political. I'm not getting political. I'm just getting tired of getting stuff shoved down my throat. In the name of Jesus, arise and walk. He needed a touch from God. He didn't need to feed the symptom. All the guys did for 40 years was fed the symptom, and they gave him money. He needed somebody to touch him at the source. He couldn't walk. Amen? So he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He needed more than words. He needed help. He needed somebody to reach down and take hold of him. Amen? Somebody to reach down and actually do something. You know, we need to get out and be bold and talk about Jesus. I don't mean, and I had a lady one time, I got through preaching about being bold one Sunday. This is the honest truth. I got to say, be bold for Jesus. And there was somebody in my church that I got to admit, they were a few french fries short of a Happy Meal. And I had to go to the, remember we had the mall in Washington? I went in the mall because I had to get something. And I had my wife and my children. We walked into Roses. And here they come. And they walked up behind me. And they said, that was a good sermon this morning, Pastor. We got to be bold. I said, yep. I kid you not. Right there in Roses. She started going, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. And I said, okay, sister. The praise team don't need to be in here right now. It's okay. And so she saw. She went this way, I went that way. And then I walked over into the shoe store. That's where I was going, the shoe store. And she saw me. She walked right into the shoe store. As soon as she saw me, she went, there is power, power, wonder working power. And wherever I went, she followed me singing, there's power, power. And I said, sister, we're supposed to be bold, but we don't need to be offensive. It's okay. All right, so I'm telling you, we need to learn to be bold. And to be. And when they reached down, it was boldness. They reached down and they grabbed the beggar by the hand and they pulled him up. Now look, now how many know that Luke was a doctor? When they were translating Matthew, they had to get people that knew about accounting, because Matthew used accounting terms. When they went to John, it was just common terms. When they went to Paul, Paul would use agricultural terms. He would use military terms. And so they had to have these special people that would see these terms and they could actually figure out exactly why they put these certain terms there. Well, Luke was a doctor. And many times they had to have doctors in there with them when they were translating the book of Luke so they could really get the richness of what Luke was trying to say. And when Luke was writing this story, he said, and he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Guess what happened? That word received strength means to solidify, to establish, to covenant. Matter of fact, here's the medical term. It means something out of place coming together into socket. Something out of place coming together into socket. What our nation needs today is to something that was out of place needs to be put back into socket. We need to be walking around saying, such as I have, I give unto thee in the name of Jesus. And let the world know that God is the answer. And then finally, Pentecost produced joy. So he leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. The man who had never walked, leaped, and didn't quit. Can you imagine? 40 years, hadn't even walked, and now he's up and he's jumping. I mean, he thawed out the first church of the frigid air. He's jumping, he's leaping, he's having a good time. Hey, praise God, look at me, I can walk. Listen, but see, he'd been healed in more than one way. Not only was he healed, but joy flooded his soul because somebody cared enough to reach down. The mighty army today says we should never look down on anybody unless we're reaching down to pick them up. That was the backup to love one at the cross, is don't look down on anybody unless you're reaching down to pick them up. We're not called to hate. We're not called to be bigots. We're not called to answer. We're called to be like Jesus. And Jesus, he reached out to everyone and loved everyone. So now, what could it mean to him? He could now walk. He could work. He could live a full life. But now he could also live in communion with God every day. And then Pentecost produced wonder. How many remember hearing about back in the day? Back in the day, churches would start having these Pentecostal revivals. And I've actually heard of it. People would call the fire department because they thought the church was on fire. And they got there, and what I actually was, the fire was Pentecost. I remember one night, it's the biggest night we had when I was at Bath. It was just awesome. We had that night, there was about 100 people on Wednesday night, and the majority was young people. And I remember the Spirit just got moving. I mean, the Spirit just started moving. And I looked, and all up at the altar, at the pews, all the way back at the door, there was young people. Some were walking and speaking to God. Some were walking and praising God. Some were walking and speaking in other tongues. There were some laying on the floor, laying in their seat, laying all up here. They were laying on the altar. And it got late. It was like 10 o'clock. And I decided to walk outside. It was hot. And I decided to walk outside. And there was parents out there. And they said, can you get my children? And I said, no offense, but you go get them. And so what I'm talking about, I said, the Spirit's moving. I can't go get them. If you want them, go get them. But they got to. God's working. It was so awesome. You know, I heard about this one man kept inviting his neighbor to church. He invited his neighbor to church for 20 years. He never went. One night the church caught on fire. The neighbor was over there helping put the fire out. He looked over at his neighbor, the guy, and said, I've been asking you for 20 years to come to my church. You never came. Why are you coming tonight? He said, would you come tonight? He said, yeah. He says, your church has never been on fire before. We need wonder. All the people saw him walking and praising God. They knew it was him who sat at the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement of what had happened to him. There was a twofold effect. Number one, they were convinced God was at work. And number two, they were ready to listen. God is not going to do this stuff so we can be glorified. God does this stuff so he can be glorified. And when he is glorified, people will listen. How many in here has had somebody come to you recently and say, I need to talk to you because I noticed that you went through something similar that I went through. And you acted different. You handled it different. And I saw God move in your life. Tell me how. Show me what you did. Tell me how God moved. How many's had that happen? People need to be coming to this, drive by this door and say, something special is going on in there. God's doing something special. Next week, I'm going to finish this up with when all hell breaks loose. Maybe I should have preached that one this week. And put a Supreme Court up there in a multicolored White House. When all hell breaks loose. Satan is coming at us with everything he's got. He's not going to stop. He's already getting into businesses. He's not going to stop to, and the institutions and the colleges. He's not going to stop to against the churches. We're the last hope for America. We are. Take your finger and point like this and say, I'm the last hope for America. Now point to somebody else and say, you're the last hope for America. Through Jesus. It's not without Jesus. Without Jesus, I'm not anybody's hope. But through Jesus, we are the last hope because we are the church. Not the building, us. We need to every day of our life ask God to show us how to get serious. I mean get serious. The Bible says in the last days there's going to be a great falling away. We see it. I don't want to be a part of that great falling away. I want to be a part of those that God says, you know what? When all hell is breaking loose, I could depend on you. I could depend on you. Now, I know this might not have been the most shouty message today, but it was definitely full of meat. Matter of fact, you can go home and chew on it for a while and come back and we'll talk about it. Anything I ever preach about, we can talk about. You want to know about this? We'll talk about this. Because I can guarantee you, I'm listening and I'm watching. I got my ear to the ground. I'm listening to what's happening. I see what's going on. And no matter what anybody tells you, we're about that close to losing our freedom. It's time to stand up to the power of God and be counted. Amen. How about you? You ready to be counted? Amen. Okay. Let's all stand. Y'all guys, come on up here. Our God is awesome. Our God is awesome. Yeah. Our God is awesome. Yeah. Our God is awesome. Yeah. Somebody says, well, why don't he do something? He's doing it. And guess what? Guess who he wants to use? Yeah. That's right. Amen. No more time to sit on the sidelines. Put me in, coach. I wish I knew the words to put me in, coach. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Put me in, coach. Y'all play something. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I know it's Sunday morning. I know you might have places to go. It's only 5 after 12. I would ask everybody that would, everybody, to come stand in the altar and ask God to refresh you, to replenish you, to give you a new dose of want to. It's important. We're getting ready to lose our rights, church. We got to stand up. If we don't stand up, they're going to be gone. All that will, everybody, let's just come and stand at the altar and we're going to pray.
Makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory.
Yes.
And all of the praise.
I want to be counted, Lord.
Makes me want to shout.
Give me a fresh dose of want to.
Hallelujah.
Give me a fresh dose of want to.
Lord, you're
worthy. It's slipping away, church. They're taking it away a little bit at a time.
And all of the praise. And I
thank you, Father.
The Lord.
Thank you, Father.
How he saved.
Thank you, Lord.
How he raised.
Thank you, Father.
How he
I thank you for power. I thank you for anointing. I thank you for using us, God. I thank you, God, that we can see what's going on around us. That we can stand to be counted. That we can stand to be counted. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. I want to be counted, Lord. I want to be counted. I want to be counted. They're trying to take it away from us as fast as they can. I want to be counted, Lord. I want to be counted. I want to be counted. I want to be counted. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
It makes me want to shout.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Lord,
yeah.
Glory and all of the honor and all of the praise.
Thank you, Father. Glory. Glory.
How he saved.
Glory.
How he raised me. How he filled me with the Holy Ghost. How he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord.
Thank you, Father.
How he picked me up.
Thank you, Lord.
Me around,
I want to be counted.
My feet.
I want to be counted. Help me take you seriously, Lord.
It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank
yes,
you,
Lord.
Jesus.
Yes,
Lord. Worthy of all
yes,
the glory
Lord.
And all of the honor and all of the praise. Makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory.
Thank you, Father.
All of the honor.
Thank you, Lord.
The praise.
I want to be counted. I want to be counted as a man of God, as a woman of God. We need to be counted. Stand
Jesus.
Up.
Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory and all
glory.
Of the honor and all
glory.
Of the praise.
Glory. Thank you, Father. Everybody repeat after me. If you're a man, I want to say man of God. If you're a woman, I want to say woman of God. But we're gonna y'all repeat after me. Father, help me to stand up and be counted as a man of God, woman of God. Help me, Lord, to be refired with interest in your work. Help me, Lord, to make that final stand. Lord, they can try to legislate you out, but they can't legislate you out of my heart, and they cannot legislate you out of my life. Help us to have the boldness to stand in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for renewing my interest and my power in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Come back tonight. We may have a surprise for you tonight. Working on it anyway. Amen. Amen. God's awesome. Brother Steve, you dismiss us in prayer, please.
We lay our crowns at the feet.